who help around here. I tell you, it's just a blessing to have help. And I don't want to call no names. You know, we got people inside the church and people outside the church. You know who I'm talking about. But I thank God for your help around here, and it's much needed. Thank God for Pastor, who's always a help to me, a help to us with wisdom and knowledge and understanding that she gives. And I just want to thank God for her today, you know, for raising us up. You know, that's y'all mama. I had my mama. My kids got their mama. But I tell you, ain't nothing like another mother, like your mama, you know. And I thank God for putting her in my life, raising me up to know how to help me to be a husband, to be a father. I mean, many days I spent with her, knocking on her door late at night. She lived out here and I lived down in the city on Page. And I feel like I need to talk to my pastor. I drive way out here. I said, "Pastor, can I talk?" She said, "Come on, where you at?" I said, "I'm at home. I'll be out there." But she never turned us away. She never turned us down. So that's why I can adopt her as my mother, because that title, it has to be earned. It's just not given because of a birth, you know. And I just thank God for her, for raising us up, raising me up to be what I'm trying to be. I ain't made it there yet, Pastor. Yeah, I'm making a huge step. And I just want to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. I just thank God for saving me. You know, I thank God for just turning my life around. A lot of things that my kids and the church knew about me, but there are a lot of things that you all don't know. But I just thank the Lord for just the power of the Holy Ghost that comes inside of you, that when you want to do wrong, you just can't do wrong no more. You know, you just don't have the power to do wrong no more. There's another power that's inside of you that makes you do right. You know, have you ever felt like you want to go off on somebody and somebody cuts you off while you're driving? You know, I mean, I do it. You know, I feel like going off. I drive up there and say, "Man, I can't wait till I get up there. I'm going to tell them something." But I get up there, I won't even look at them. Because if I do, I'm going to say something I have to repent about. But that's what the power of the Holy Ghost would do for you. He'll change your life. He will change your walk. He'll change your talk. I mean, he will change you all over. So I just thank him for saving me. I don't know if my children ever heard this testimony. I found out that a few of them do listen, you know, online. Yeah. Say fast. But I like to give this testimony. You know, I don't know if my children ever heard it, that when I was out there in the world where you dwell sometimes, I was at a nightclub and I knew your mama. We were dating. And so we would always go out late at night like y'all used to do. They told me that they used to take my excursion 12, 1 o'clock in the morning when they couldn't drive. And they shared some things with me too. But I was in this nightclub one night and something, I called him, something at the time, came to me and said, "Go home. Get out of here. You don't belong here." So I looked around. I didn't see nobody. I thought it was somebody that I knew. It happened 3 times. And on the third time, I went and found people that you know. You know, and I said, "Man, take me home. I got to go home. I don't belong here." I was on Goodfellow and Natural Bridge. The 10 Grand Flamingo. You know about it. Others know about it. They don't know nothing about that. Across the street from the Rose. And, well, I got some witnesses in here. And so I went and found my brother. I said, "Man, take me home. I got to get out of here. I don't belong here." And they was looking at me like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I don't know." And they said, "Man, you got some static?" I said, "No, I ain't got no trouble, man." He said, "Did somebody step on your shoes?" I had a thing about somebody stepping on my shoes because I like to keep my shoes clean. I said, "No." He said, "I don't know what it is. I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't explain it. I said, just take me home. Could y'all just take me home? They said, well, yeah, we'll take you home. So they took me home. And after that night, I would come home every day after work. And I would sit in this big red chair that Mom gave me. And I would just read the Bible every single day. This was before I think it's before I met your mom. But anyway, from that day forth, I have been calling on the Lord. He changed my life. I met your mom. She was saved. I wasn't saved. I'm not going to keep you all alone this morning, but I have to tell this. You know, God hears your prayer. Don't you ever be in a place in your life to where you feel like that you can't call on God. I was a sinner praying for a saved wife. And when God answered my prayer, he answered my prayer. He gave me a saved wife while I was a sinner. She was saved. I knew about salvation, but I wasn't living the life. I just came out of the club, and I was trying to do right, live right, do it all right. But I found some flaws in me that I just couldn't keep it right. But I found out that this man named Jesus, all my wrongs that I couldn't get it right, he made them right for me. And I just thank God. I mean, the testimony can go longer, but I just thank God for saving me, pulling me out of the street, pulling my mind out of the streets, you know, my ways. I mean, there are things in life that you all know that I don't even want to do no more. And what makes you not want to do things that you used to do no more? Nobody but God. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but the Lord. And so I just thank the Lord for my wife. I thank God for my children. I just thank God for all the people that he has put in my life. And I just, most of all, I want to thank him for, you know, I just, you know, we memorialize him today, this day over 2,000 years ago that he got up out of the grave. And boy, people just can't understand that. I mean, it blows their mind. It blows our mind. You know, that's the power that he has. And so I'm going to be reading a little bit out of Matthew 28, starting at the first verse. I'm going to try to hold your attention for a while and maybe hopefully bless you this morning. And again, I know that you've been here for a while. We're not going to try to hold you. And people got dinners that they got their minds on, going Easter egg hunts and all of that stuff. If I can turn into some of that too, Pastor, get rid of all of those traditions. And I want y'all to know, a lot of those traditions are pagan traditions. You know, somebody mentioned something about carrying their God, looking at their God on a statue. Some people carry their gods in their pockets, rabbit foots and all of this sort of stuff. They got their good luck charms in their back pocket. That's their gods. And so we don't have to carry our God nowhere. He's carrying us. And I thank God for carrying us this far. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you this morning, God, thanking you, first of all, God, for getting up out of that grave. Thanking you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for having us on your mind while you were on the cross. Lord, we thank you today, God. We thank you for the children, Lord God, who you're calling, God, who you're pulling on, Father. And we pray, Father God, for our sister, Selena, and brother, Steve, Lord God. We ask that you would look in on them this morning, God. We ask that you would touch them, Father God. Oh, God, during their afflictions, Lord God. But you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of all. We ask that you would deliver them on this morning, Father God. Touch our mothers of the churches, oh, God. We ask that you would touch their bodies, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, the time that you allotted me, Father God, to speak and stand before your people, I ask that you will speak to me and speak through me. In Jesus' name, Father, I give you praise. Give God some praise. Come on, give him some praise. Hallelujah. He deserves it. Matthew 28:1, the very first chapter. And it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. I have to pause right there. It says, in the end of the Sabbath. That means he was off the cross, in the grave for 3 days. The end of the Sabbath was the third day. And I want to bring to your mind, to your this morning, have you ever wondered the first 2 days while he was in the grave, what was going on with Jesus? Jesus just didn't lay in the grave. You know, we know on the third day he got up. But what was going on the first 2 days when they took him off the cross and they put him in the tomb? Peter said that he went down into the prison and preached to the spirits. He was down there still doing God's business. Jesus stepped out of his body. His body was in the tomb. But he stepped out of his body in the spirit and went in the prisons to preach the gospel to those that didn't hear. Don't tell me about the power of God. He's still doing his Father's business while his body laid rest. But on the third day, the Bible says that he rose again. Death couldn't keep him. Death couldn't hold him into the grave. Death tried to keep him, but he stepped back into his body. And when he stepped back into his body, he rose again. And we're going to find out what Jesus was doing after he rose. He didn't go to the Father right away. He didn't go to the Father. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from the heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. Ain't you glad he rose? As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So here it is. He already told his disciples that after he rises again, go to Galilee, because that's where I'm going to meet you. So many people going to see. He knew his disciples was looking for him in Galilee. So he rose again. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre and fear, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went and to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. There shall they see me. Now when they were gone, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while you sleep. Now, here it is. The priests got word that Jesus' body was gone. He was gone. He wasn't there no more. So they gave a bribe to the guards to tell a lie to the governor to say that they fell asleep on the job. And if you know anything about that time of day, if you fall asleep on your job doing that kind of watch, they put you to death. And so they gave him a large amount of money to go and tell a lie. And then they say, well, you say that you were asleep, then we'll back that lie up. So they're going to tell a lie, and then they're going to tell a lie to cover the lie about Jesus. But because they didn't want what was told to come to truth. You can't stop what God is going to do. It's impossible for you to stop his work. If he said he was going to rise again, can't nobody stop that. They couldn't take his body because it wasn't going to be there. So God's power is like no other power. And so they lied and said that they took his body. The disciples took the body and hid the body. But Jesus had something else in mind. After he met them, after he rose from the grave, he met Mary Magdalene, the Bible says. Then after that, he met Peter, Cephas. Then after that, he said, the Bible says that he showed himself to over 500 brothers. So God is trying to tell, Jesus trying to let people know that, look, when I say I'm going to rise, I'm going to rise. You know, not only I'm going to show my disciples, but I'm going to show myself to over 500 other people. And then after that, he showed himself to the 11 disciples. I said 11 because Thomas wasn't with them. Because everybody know about Thomas. They call him Doubting Thomas. And Thomas wasn't with them at the time. But then he showed himself to all of them. But Thomas was there. And Thomas was one of the guys that say, except I see him, I shall believe. Otherwise, don't y'all come tell me about Jesus that rose again. Even his disciples, one of his disciples and some of the others, couldn't believe the power of God that he would rise again. And so when Jesus came and showed himself to Thomas, and Thomas, he said, look, Thomas, it's me. He said, it's me. He said, spirit don't have flesh and bones like I have. He said, come on, handle me, touch me. Put your hands in my finger. Put your hands in my side. It's really me. And Thomas said, except I should believe. Except I should see, then I shall believe. Jesus said, yeah, Thomas, we know that you believe because you've seen. He said, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Ain't you glad that you believe that Jesus rose? Ain't you glad that you know that Jesus is alive? You know, I ain't got to see Jesus. I know what God has done for me. I know where he brought me from. I've seen the miracles myself, notable miracles myself. I ain't got to see Jesus. I'm going to see him. We all going to see him in our due season. So it's hard for people to believe that this Jesus, this God, this deity had the power to die, to get on the cross, get in the tomb, and rise in 3 days. That's mind blowing. Can't nobody explain it to you. We just got to proclaim it to you. We're making a proclamation, a declaration that he is alive and he did rise again. That's what we're doing here this morning. And so Paul wrote, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. He showed himself. So I'm going to rise, and not just to prove, I'm going to prove that they didn't steal my body. I'm going to walk around here for a while. The Bible said he spent 40 days on earth after he rose again to make sure that people believe that nobody stole my body. It wasn't hid. It wasn't buried nowhere. You know, one of the writers wrote that when Peter went in the tomb, Jesus, his housekeeping was even good. When Peter went in the tomb, Peter saw his veil that was covering Jesus. The Bible said the napkin was folded up at the end of his bed, we want to call it, where he lay. Jesus ain't leave no mess in the tomb. He's a good God, ain't he? And so people just don't don't see how it's possible to live again. Many people are struggling today about living again. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 50. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither do corruption inherit incorruption. He said, behold. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. He said, I'm going to tell you something. But some still ain't going to believe it. He said, we shall not all sleep. Everybody ain't going to sleep, he said. But we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. What is Paul saying right here? He said, look, I'm showing you a mystery that we all shall not sleep. Everybody ain't going to go into the grave. Those that are in the grave, when he rose, when he comes back, they gonna rise up again. But those that are left behind, that's not dead, that belong to Christ, he said, we gonna be caught up. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's power. That's power that everybody needs to have that type of experience. Everybody ain't going to experience that type of experience, that type of power. I know it's hard. I know it's hard for you. He said, but we shall be changed. I believe I shall be changed. If I'm not in the ground, if I'm left here to be raptured out of here, I believe I'm going to be called up. And as I'm going up, I'm going to be putting on, he's going to be putting on me some new clothes. He's going to be putting on a new body for me. We got a new body prepared for us. He said, this corruptible body, this cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No flesh and no blood. We got to take off this mortality. We got to take off this corruption and put on something that's incorrupt, something that's going to last, something that's going to endure. And this just ain't designed. This body wasn't designed to endure. It ain't designed to stay here forever. It's got to go in the grave. It's got to see some corruption. But Jesus didn't see no corruption. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15:35. Paul preaching to these folk the resurrection of Jesus. These are church people too, by the way, that he preaching to. How fitting. And he said, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You know, some people are asking Paul, and they're asking people today, you know, with doubt, is it possible that the dead rise, whose body has been laid for hundreds of years, thousands of years, been reduced to dust? Beasts have eaten them up. Beasts of the field, beasts of the sea have eaten these people up. How is it possible that they come back again to their bodies? You know, these guys are saying, Paul, what kind of doctrine are you preaching? What are you saying? It's not possible that that will happen. These are the Sadducees that don't believe that. You know, this was a sect of the Jews that didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the afterlife. You know, and it wasn't possible. And somebody said that's why they call them the Sadducees, because they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the power of God. And there's a whole lot of people out there that's sad, you see, because they deny the power of God. You know, I mean, what kind of God would you want to serve? A God that you got to carry around? A God that you have to do something for? I need a God to do something for me because I can't get it all right. I need a God that's going to help me to live this life. I need a God to show me the path to take, not me take my God on the path. He know the way that I should go. That's what the Bible says. Say, Paul, how is it possible that he's going to do this? You know, you got to know that it's impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. I like to tell you today, all things are possible to them that believe. Everything with God is able. Everything with God, he can do. Everything with God, he will do. It's possible for God to raise the dead again. And they say, well, what kind of body, Paul, we going to come back with? What kind of body we going to have? 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now that we are the sons of God, and it do not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I don't know what he looked like. You know, I know one thing, that I am a child of God. You know, I don't look like him right now. John said, it don't yet appear what we shall be. Can't nobody explain to you what this body going to look like. I can't tell you how I'm going to look, how you going to look when you're going up to meet Christ in the air. But you're going to look like him however he look. You're going to be indisposable. Your body going to be incorruptible. He going to give you a new body. is that I may not look like him right now. Sometimes I don't act like my Jesus. I don't walk like him all the time. I'm not always doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But one thing I know, when he come, I shall be like him. You shall be like him. It don't make no difference what you're doing right now. All you got to do is repent, be baptized. That power that was in Jesus is in you. That same power that's in Jesus is in me. That power still resonates. You know, there's people walking around today with that type of power in them. They don't realize that it's in them. They still have that doubt. They still are in disbelief that it's possible. It's possible with God. All things are possible with God. God can do anything. And if I can testify, boy, I tell you, if we open up testimony service, I blow your mind away with some stuff. How God did this. And people want you to give the credit to man. People want to pat you on the back about the power of God. And the blind man said, I don't know whether this man is a sinner or not. But one thing I do know, that I was blind, but now I see. I can't explain the power of God. But I know it exists. I know it resides in you. It resides in me. It's in me. I don't look like him, but I know that power is in me. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. That's the only way you can get this power. You can't pay for it. You can't do no mighty works for it. You just got to accept the power of God. When you accept his son, that's when you're accepting this power, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. Jesus said, look, all power was given unto him in heaven and earth. And then he turned around and said, look, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. No flu, no virus, no sickness. It might touch you. You might catch the flu. You might get some viruses, but it ain't gonna hurt you. A lot of people are dying in Christ, but it ain't hurting them. Paul said, look at her. He said, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And so many people are afraid to die. A lot of the saints are afraid to die. You know, you better be afraid if you have not made it right with Christ. You got every right to be afraid. But if you made it right with the Lord, don't be afraid to die. Let go and let God. He said he took the sting out of death. You got to worry about death no more. You know, because that's some kind of this power that I'm trying to elate to you is like no other power. It ain't for you to just speak in tongues. It ain't for you to. It's for you to be a witness. You know, he said, look, after the power has come up on you, he said, you're going to be witness for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea. You know, people don't have the power, the courage, the boldness enough to even say anything about their Lord. They talk about everything else, but when you start talking about Jesus, they want to run off. You know, or we want to not say anything. I don't want to offend this person. You got to tell them. If you don't tell them, how are they going to know? Not that something's going to change right there, but it's power in you to be bold. You have to be bold. Look, shoot. Y'all were bold in the world. Y'all didn't care about what was going on. Who saw you? What they said about you? But I'm going to get my party on. I'm going to do this. I didn't care either. When he was playing football, y'all heard, when he was playing football, I didn't care about nobody what they said. When he made a break and ran, I made a break and ran too. I was running down the sideline. and I was supposed to hold the first down goal post, the first down chain. And they said, Mr. Deeds, you can't do that. I said, man, I just can't help it. You know, you can't help it when you got that kind of influence in your life. He had an influence in my life, man. He was in the newspaper, and he was doing some great things. And boy, I was just, I'm soaking it up. But it's the same way with the Lord. It's the same way with the Holy Ghost. I'm soaking it up. It's this power that I just can't stop talking about my Lord and my Savior. I tell it everywhere I go. All the testimonies that God has given me, I tell them because people need to hear them. When I was suffering with migraine headaches, and the family knew about it, they didn't get no rest because I didn't get no rest. I had one son that would stay up with me all night till morning, massaging my neck, telling me it's going to be all right. Dad, get you some rest. But one night in my bedroom, I told the Lord, I can't handle it, Lord. I can't take it no more. I'm ready to go. I made it right with you. I'm sure that when I close my eyes, I'll open up my eyes and I'll be with you in peace. But he didn't let me go. I said, Lord, I can't take it. And so I was in a fetal position on the floor of my bedroom. And all of a sudden, you ain't got to believe this. This for me to believe. All of a sudden, this bright light came down in my bedroom and called me by my name 3 times. Sounding like Paul, don't it? I didn't get the story from Paul. This is my story. This is my testimony. This is my book of Acts. This happened to me. And called me by my name 3 times. Said, Al. And I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm talking to this big light. I'm ready to go. I can't take the pain in my neck. I had a pinched nerve. I was suffering with migraines. It's like the devil was just pouring it on me. I mean, I was just going through. And I got sick and tired of going through. And he said, you didn't bear a cross. I said, no, Lord, I didn't bear no cross. He said, they didn't put no crown of thorns in your head. I said, no, Lord, I don't know what that feel like. He said, look, follow me. He said, didn't I promise you that I won't put nothing on you that you can't bear? And I'm thinking, Lord, I just told you I can handle this. See, God knows what you can handle. He knows your capacity. He knows how much you can bear. He told me in my pain, in my suffering, in my desperation of going home with him, he said, I won't put more on you than you can bear. He said, follow me. And I remember the word. I said, Lord, you did say that. I just believe what he said. Sometimes you just got to believe and not try to figure this thing out. Sometimes you just got to believe what he say do. He said, do it, do it. I said, yes, Lord, you're right. I start crawling around in my bedroom. It ain't that big. From the bed to the dresser and all the stuff got in there. But I started crawling around. I was following him. And the next morning, I woke up in a fetal position on the floor because I was still following Jesus. And when I got up that morning, everything was gone. The pinched nerve, migraine, headaches. Somebody don't know, don't believe, ask me how long ago that been. That wasn't yesterday. That's been years ago. Years before Kobe was born. And he's 17. That's been about 20 years ago. Come in here, they slapped me with oil, tried to heal me. I mean, did everything, but God came in. That power, that dunamis power, that power that people don't speak of all the time, that Holy Ghost power, that old Holy Ghost power, came in my bedroom and healed me. He'd do the same thing for you. That's the power, that same power that rose up in Jesus, that got him out of the grave. That's the power that was in him. Dunamis power, they call it. The Greeks call it a dunamis power. And dunamis power, it says that it's an inherent power residing in one in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. It wasn't my power. It wasn't mama's power. It was put in me. It's put in you. And it's something about this inherent power that it speaks of. It's something that sticks in something else so firmly that they cannot be separated. What I'm trying to say here, This power that's in you, can't nobody take it from you. They can destroy your body, but that power will still be in you. It's power God put inside of you that you can't be separated from that power. It's always there. What did he say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you. He himself is always with you, even to the end. He's talking about even to death. He's always there. That's that same power that's going to get you up out of the grave. Because Jesus lives, I don't know about you, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I know I can face tomorrow. Not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Not only those days. I'm talking about that last day. I'm talking about that great and terrible day. It's going to be great for some, but it's going to be terrible for others. I'm talking about the power that God put in Jesus that rose him up from the dead. It's inside of you. It can't be separated. It's a dunamis power. It's a Holy Ghost power. It's the divine power that's going to live in you forever. It's going to cause you to have life. This is what Jesus was talking about. This power, the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, look, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Over poison, sickness, over debt. That's something to celebrate. That is something to celebrate. So this power that God put in Christ, that raised him up on the third day. And people like to leave him on the cross. You can't leave him on the cross. They like to leave him in the grave. You can't leave him in the grave. He rose again. On the third day, he got up and all power. Every kind of power that you can think of was in his hand. That's why we go to him, because he got all power and authority. And he's given all power and authority to you. We just don't know what's inside of us. We don't use what we got. The spiritual things that God has given us. We use all of this natural stuff. We want a lot of natural things. And the first thing you ask somebody, if you can have three wishes, what would be the first thing you would want? First thing somebody might say, I don't know, get me enough money to sustain myself. Money run out. Things get old. That stuff is going to rust and pass away. But this power that he gave it, that's when he asked Solomon, what do you want? Solomon didn't ask for no riches and no gold. He asked for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Those things will get you whatever you want, because they are the virtues of God. That's power. Because he lives, saints, you can face tomorrow. Because he lived, I know I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, I know I'll see my mama again. I know I'll see my daddy again because he lives. Because he lived, I'll see my auntie, my grandmother. I'll see my cousins. And because he lived, I shall see my son again. Jesus lives. He walks with me. I don't know about you. He talks to me. He leads me. He guides me. He's the one that points me in the direction that I should go. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face all fear. I ain't afraid of death. Because he lived. And because he lived, this saying that is brought about. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Grave has no victory. Death has no sting no more. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of dying. In fact, that's what we start living. When you leave here, you start living somewhere. Right now, we're dying. Paul said, die daily. We ought to die every day until we live somewhere else. Don't you worry about tomorrow. God got tomorrow. Get this thing right today. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know. Only he knows. I know the churches are packed out today because of Easter. And that's a good thing. But next Sunday, I pray that the churches be packed again. The Sunday after that, I hope to be packed again. And after that, pack them on in. Because that day is coming. It's approaching. And the only way we can get that power is by accepting Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I know most people in here are saved, but there's a lot of people that ain't saved. A lot of people need to come back. They're backslidden. They ain't been with Christ. They've been with another God. They've been with another man. They've been with another woman. They've been with another person. It's time to get back to God. It's time to repent so you can have this dunamis power. The power that's going to raise you up. And you're going to be as he is and incorruptible. Can you imagine anything being incorruptible? There's nothing down here on this earth that's incorruptible. Everything down here is going to be reduced to ashes. But your body, if you're living in Christ, is going to rise and it's going to be shining. So Isaiah says, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. He has risen. He's not in the grave, as Mary says. He's on the right hand of the throne of the Father. And all power is given unto him to meet your needs, whatever you need today. God bless you this morning. Jesus has risen. We don't have to be afraid no more. You don't have to be afraid no more. And some people, they just ain't afraid. You got some people, they just tough. And they just don't. And they just got that persona about them like, yeah, well, whatever. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to meet your match. He ain't going to beat you up, though. This God ain't going to beat you down. He going to love on you so much to where you ain't going to have no choice but to say, I surrender. He knows that. Grievous words stir up strife. That's what he knows. So he ain't come to beat you up. He ain't come to condemn you. But he come to love on you, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. This is not an abundant life. We're just passing by this morning. But if anybody need this dunamis power, anybody lacking this power, we can't give it to you, but we can help you get to it. We can point you in the direction that you need to go to get this power. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood. There is power in our Savior. So if anybody need this power, you can come on up and we'll pray for you this morning. Anybody need to come back that's backslidden, we'll pray for you. He said, I will heal their backsliders. You've been away for a long time. It's time to come back. If you're undecided, you really don't know, it's time to come right now. He's giving you all the power that you need. You got power to get up out your seat right now. But I ain't going to pull you. I ain't going to pull this morning. Look, he has risen. And if you believe that God has risen, give God some praise. And I'm going to stop. I ain't going to try to force the Holy Ghost. I know that he lives. How I know? Because I know he lives inside of me. Can't nobody change this mind, this heart that was in me. Nobody but him. He the only one that can do it. He the only one that did it. Because it was a rotten heart. It was a stony heart. You know, people say some things to you nowadays, you know, just shun them off. But back then, I would have pieced my mind out. As Pastor said, I would have gave them a piece of my mind. But because Christ love them, I love them too. And I'm going to love them on into the kingdom, you know. God bless you this morning. Let us stand and dismiss. I see some faces out there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I told somebody, I said, this is Al's day. Welcome to UC. I want to pray for your son.